Amen. Praise God. A little bit of heaven came down. And we praise God for the taste of heaven on earth that He gives. Even as we sing about heaven, sing about the grace that God's given to us at salvation. As Christ came in, the King of heaven came in. And praise God for that experience that He gave to us. All right, our texts this morning are multiple. And if you do have a church Bible, I have prepared in my notes the page numbers so that I'm going to be able to give you the page numbers as we go along. But the first page number is page 774 in the church Bible, or Isaiah 55. Okay, if you want to turn in your Bibles right now ahead of time, Isaiah 55 will be our first passage that we come to this morning. I looked up online top five New Year's resolutions, and you probably could almost guess them, all right? If I were to let you guess them, you probably could. But they are the top five that I was able to find is exercise more, lose weight, eat healthy, take a more active approach to health, and learn a new skill or hobby. And except for numbers four and five, I guess, well, four even, take a more active approach to health. They all kind of have to do with the way I am physically, right? I want to do something about this, and, you know, another year has passed, and so I look in the mirror, and I think, you know, this is the year that I'm going to get fit. And I think I can say with confidence that there are very few people that came to the New Year's resolution and said, this year, my goal is to gain weight, all right? I just want to be a little bit of a bigger man, you know, than I was this past year. You know, the exception of the sumo wrestler or a rugby player or a young person that's up and coming and they want to put on the pounds, get out there in some sport and achieve something, it's very unlikely that anybody looked at themselves and thought, I really want to gain weight. Now, having said that, losing weight can be a great thing, right? It can be a good thing that people can do. But do you know there's people that lose so much weight that it's actually deadly? It's very sad to think about, but there's some people that perish because they become obsessed with their physical need, they think, to lose weight. And so at the end of that, sadly, there's some that even die because of losing weight. And so it's costing their life. You know, it's good to have the proper amount of body fat and be healthy. That's just a fact. I mean, praise God. God makes all different, by the way. And I want, as we start the message with this idea, obviously the message isn't upon dieting or not dieting or that, but the reality is God gave us who we are. People are different, and we don't need to listen to the world about what the world says as far as losing weight or not losing weight as we just take to honor God with our physical body that God's given to us. We ought to do that. But what I want to look at this morning and what I want to preach on is being fat, but not physically, all right? Being fat spiritually, all right? And that's going to be what we're going to look at. Although very few people seek to gain weight physically, we ought to seek fatness spiritually. And it's a biblical concept, as you've already seen in the text that we've read this morning. You know, a lean soul is deadly. And really what got my mind thinking about this, as I prayed about what God would have me preach about, I came across a psalm, Psalm 106 and verse 15. It's kind of history of Israel. And there's a verse in there, in verse 15, it says, He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. And it's interesting, they wanted to feed themselves physically. You remember the story, they wanted God to provide meat, you know, and they've got to have meat. And they're sick of the manna that God had given to them that, I mean, it had to be awesome food that God had given, but they got to have what they've had before. They lusted from their flesh for that. God said, okay, and basically they stuffed their faces, okay? But God gave them what they requested, but sent leanness into their soul. What's that mean? They fed their face, but they weren't satisfied. It didn't actually meet the need that was more important. That was their soul. And so this morning, we need to be a fat soul. Soul fatness is a good thing in God's Word. Psalm 36, verse 8, it says, They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Psalm 65, verse 11, Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. And so soul fatness. I'm going to say this morning, that word fat in our day, Someone's become, oh, that's an offensive term. You can't use that as a term. And I don't want to offend anybody this morning, but this is a biblical term that we're just going to use freely. Because when the Bible speaks about fatness, it's about healthiness. By the way, it's only in our lifetime that people have sought to be ultra skinny. It used to be in the day, it was good to have a little bit of extra weight, because when illness came or sickness came, you could endure that better than somebody else because you're actually better prepared for it. Okay? And so there is actually an idea about fatness being a good thing physically, but it's definitely a good thing spiritually. And so again, it's the top of the message, soul fatness. I'm going to give you the text as we go through it. And let's pray and ask God's Spirit to bless as we consider this morning. Father, I thank you for the Word of God this morning. I thank you for this concept that we get to look at. And Father, it's been eye-opening to me as I've considered it. And Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would bless the Word of God to the hearts of people that are here this morning and those that will hear this message. Father, we need soul fatness. Father, that is a blessing. That is the healthy thing for somebody. It's a very dangerous thing to have a lean soul. But He sent leanness into their soul. And so I pray, Father, help me to express these truths as I ought. I pray, God, help me to preach biblically. Father, I pray, help me to preach practically. And Father, help me preach lovingly. And Father, I pray by your grace, help me preach powerfully as I ought to speak. And Father, give us ears to hear this morning. Take this, your word. And Father, feed us. And that's what we desire. Every time we come to church, Father, it's our desire that you set a table before us. And Father, that we could taste and see that the Lord is good. May we do so this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so I'm going to start in the obvious place with where soul fatness begins, and that is this morning. First, you need to fatten your soul by faith. Fatten your soul by faith. And again, our text is Isaiah 55. And if you have a church Bible, it's page 774. Okay, Isaiah 55, or page 774. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." And again, you could have thought, Pastor, this morning you're using that shocking word, and it keeps coming out. But it's in the Bible, and that's what the Word of God says. It says, let your soul delight itself in fatness. Do you know there's a lot of people that are feeding their flesh, but they're feeding their soul? They're feeding their body. It's a body. It's just a tent for the soul. It's been said, you're not a soul. You're not a body with a soul, you're a soul with a body. I mean, that the soul is the most important thing about who somebody is. And so there's a lot of people that are starving in their soul. Their soul is, as this text says, thirsting. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsts." And it's kind of like a cry, even more starving than that. Say, "Hey, listen up. If you've got a dissatisfaction in your soul, I want to tell you something. Ho, everyone that thirsts." Thirst is an intense desire for what one does not have. And because they're thirsting, it shows what? That they're not really satisfied. That they've got a need that has not been met. No, it's not like they haven't tried to meet the need. It's just they haven't met the need because they haven't gone to the right place to meet the need. They're spending their hard-earned money on that which satisfieth not. Look at verse 2. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not?" They're working hard at it. I mean, they are investing a lot of money in it. They're investing a lot of labor in the sense that they work so hard to get a paycheck only to spend it on things that they think will satisfy their flesh or their soul, but it doesn't really satisfy. It leaves them empty. Things like drugs, things like drink, like cigarettes, like pornography, like immorality, things that are just things, pleasures. And it's just empty food for their soul, and it costs them an enormous amount of money. Have you ever stopped to think how much money you save because you have taken Christ as your Savior? And I said in our church recently, I think last Sunday night, on the fact that the devil's tithe had to be more than God's tithe. What Satan stole out of our pocket has to mean more than what God has asked us to give out of a loving heart for a God that gave us so much and satisfied our soul. They invest heavily in things that are empty things to them. And so they need to fatten their soul, feed their soul by faith. How do they do that? Well, they need to hear God's call to come. It says in Isaiah verse 55, verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy me, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." God says if you're thirsty, God says if you're not satisfied, if your life is empty, I'm crying out to you, I'm saying just come. These people need to hear God's call to come. You know, praise God, there's no charge to eat at God's table. Notice what it says in the text. It says, he that hath no money, without Christ. God doesn't expect this morning somebody to come and say, God, I want that which satisfies, and it's really righteousness, getting God inside my heart. I wanna do something for you, God, that I can have that. That's not what God says. God doesn't expect us to pay anything. It's just we need to hear his cry, come. You know, what's he inviting us to eat and to drink? You know, God set a table for us. He said, God's call to come. What's he inviting us to come and eat and drink? Well, John chapter 6, verse 48, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Yesterday, my boys and I were out, and we went to some cherry shops, and we stopped in to get a snack at just a little grocery store that was there, and walked in, and we couldn't find anything. You know, there's all these snacks and stuff. I was trying to find something a little bit healthy. And, you know, there are bread rolls there. And I thought, you know, right, let's get some bread, eat some bread. And I asked them if they agreed. And we took bread and we ate bread. You know, bread is a staple. They used to be, if people were going on a hike or traveling, they would take bread with them. Bread is something that sustains physical life. But Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," speaking about what? Spiritual life. He's the bread of life for the soul. And it says in that text, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is that soul satisfaction. Jesus is what man is seeking and that man needs, and that man is investing heavily to try to satisfy a need that they can't ever satisfy. So what do they need to do? They need to hear God say, "Hey, come. Come." They need to hear God's call to come, but they need to hear God's call to partake. It says in verse 2, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in self as fatness." Come, the table is set. Come, just sit down. It's time to eat. At our church in Hudson, Wisconsin, where I grew up, Bible Baptist Church, that was my home church. We have family camp every year. And every year at family camp, Camp Clearwater, they had a lodge building that kind of set up on a hill and grass fields going down in front of it to a sand volleyball court and some other things. And they'd ring a dinner bell and everybody would come up and they'd queue up and they're getting ready to go in and to eat. And every single time before we go in to eat, we would sing, "Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. He may feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now. Come and dine." Right? And then we pray and we go in and we partake. It was time to eat. And so we would sing that. And so God is saying to people, listen, it's not enough that the bread is there. Come. I mean, the call goes out. It's there, but it's a call to partake. John 7:37, again, "In the last days, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." The satisfaction is there. It's there for all men. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. It's there. People can have it. But they have to personally take it. Doing evangelism this past week, I met a lady, an older lady, and she was getting out of her car, and I wanted to hand her a tract. Her door said, no junk mail, and it's not junk mail, and so I normally post it, but because she's sitting in her car, I just wanted to say something to her. So I said, it's not junk mail, it's from the church, and just like to hand this to you. It speaks about God. She goes, I don't want it. An older lady. And you think, in my mind, I still struggle with the fact that older ladies can be against God, right? And so I said to her, I said, about something about God, and she said, you know what, I've got a Bible, I can read it whenever I want. And I said, well, how often do you read it? And she said, I haven't read it since primary school. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, she's got this great opportunity to satisfy her soul, but she hasn't listened to what God said. And he said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and partake. Come and have a bite of what God's got to offer you. And so it's also not just hear God's call to come, hear God's call to partake, but hear God's call to believe, because believing is the way somebody takes Christ into their heart. Verse 3 says, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. How does somebody eat the bread? Jesus Christ is the bread. Jesus Christ died on the cross. And obviously we understand that we're not physically biting the flesh of Christ or drinking the blood of Christ this morning. How does somebody in their soul partake of who Christ is? And the answer is back in that text that we're already looking at. And the answer is faith. John 6:47, again, Jesus crying out that he's the bread of life. Verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Somebody that has put faith in Christ and who Christ is and what Christ, in our case, did as he died on the cross for our sins and as he rose from the dead, paying the complete price for our sin. That is eating the bread. Jesus goes on to say, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. He just said 3 verses before, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He that eateth the bread hath everlasting life. How do you eat the bread? You believe. And so by faith, somebody this morning could look at their life and say, you know what, my life doesn't satisfy. I'm trying all these things, and I'm trying pleasure, I'm trying entertainment. They might be good things. I'm reading more books. I'm doing all these self-help things, and my soul is empty. What do they need? Their soul is lean, because they have never fattened their soul by faith. Praise God, that's where it starts. For most of us, praise God, this morning, it's already started. We put our faith in Jesus Christ, and that brought a fatness into our spiritual being. Praise God. And so fatten your soul by faith. Secondly, fatten your soul by worship. By worship. And so our text here is the one we read this morning. In our service already. Page 638 in the Black Bible and Psalm 63, if you've got your own text. Psalm 63 or page 638. Fatten your soul by worship. David says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where the water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I've seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. David is in a bad place physically. He's been likely put out of his kingdom by his son Absalom, the revolt that's taking place. He finds himself out in the wilderness, and in that barren wilderness, there was a leanness that was coming into his soul. And so as that leanness came, David is seeking God in worship to satisfy his soul. Spurgeon's Treasury of David commentary. Spurgeon said this, the distinguishing word of this psalm is early. When the bed is softest, we are most tempted to rise at lazy hours. But when comfort is gone and the couch is hard, if we rise the earlier to seek the Lord, we have much for which to thank the wilderness. The wilderness isn't a bad thing if it does what it did in the life of David, where David goes, man, I have a need and I crave God. He was seeking soul satisfaction in worship. And so how do we do that this morning as David did? Well, we fatten our soul by worship, by seeking God's presence. Seeking God's presence. Psalm 63 says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where the water is. David is God's righteous servant, but David was not content to be long out of God's presence. He's a faithful man. He's a godly king. He loves God. And yet, there was a sense where David just wanted a constant awareness of being in the presence of God. He says, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. Just like a thirsty man in the desert. You know, I can well remember 20 years ago, or just a bit more than that, and my wife and I being engaged. And, you know, dating at Bob Jones was always interesting, you know, but it became more interesting as we got engaged because I was a grad student and she was undergrad. I was staff. I had a position at the university and she was a student. And so what happened with that back then, the rule was we couldn't eat together in the common dining hall, right? I had to eat on the staff side. She had to eat on the student side. And so I prayed a lot about that. And I went and I asked, would you change the rule even? And by the way, it changed it the next year. But it changed it that year. And so I just went to God and I said, okay, Lord, if that's the case, we don't have a lot of time together. I really desire to be in her presence. And so we're going to have to eat at the snack shop together because we only have meal time that we could get together today or whatever. And so I just pressed the guy asking to provide. You know, as I looked back at that year and figured out how much money we spent about $350 per semester back then so that we could spend time together because it meant that much to us to be in each other's presence. Let me ask you this morning, when it comes to God's presence, what are you willing to spend? What price will you pay? Is there that desire that you could say is a very real desire? I really desire to be with God. That I get up early, as David did, or I would spend that time, set that time aside where I desire to seek God. Listen, that's how we fatten our soul. Fatten our soul by worship. How? By spending time in God's presence. Seek God's presence. And then seek God's power and glory. Verse 2 says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I've seen in the sanctuary. David had seen visibly the awesome power of God and the glory of God, and it thrilled his soul. But David wasn't content to have had that experience in the past and not have it in the present. It wasn't something that he was satisfied with for the rest of his life because he had had that experience of God's glory and God's power. David wanted a fresh demonstration of it. Have you noticed that the older you get, you still think you can do things that you used to be able to do? All right? And I'm 43 now. Back on our last furlough, I was in my mid-30s. I was young. All right? But we went back to Illinois, and there at my sister's church that their family was at, they had a gymnasium. And they said, hey, let's play volleyball. I thought, great, volleyball's my game, you know? And I still got it. And so we're playing volleyball, it's great, and I was goofing off, and there's a new rule in volleyball, apparently you can kick the ball, or something like that. Alright, so the ball came down on my side, and I went to go for that ball, and I overextended my right leg, and I tore my hamstring. Alright, and you know what I learned? I learned I don't got it. Right? I think I can still do it, but if you want a fresh demonstration of Pastor Ben's ability to play volleyball, it's not going to be like it was, but praise God. When it comes to God's ability and what God can do, God still has that ability to do all the things that he's done in the past. And so David, in his worship, didn't come to a point where thinking, well, God, that was the way it was in the past. It was great to see God's power and God's glory. David desired that through worship again for his soul, to see God's power and God's glory. And then to seek God's love. Verse 3 says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. David, as he looked at his life, he said, God, your affection for me means more to me than life. That's more important to me than anything else. You know, to some people, the most important thing to them could be finances. And if their finances go south and everything's bad, they need the spare of life because they don't want to live without finances. To other people, it might be relationships. And if that person's not in my life, they're not going to be a part of my life, I'm going to despair of life because I don't have that relationship. To others, it could be liberty. If I don't have my liberty, then it's not worth living. To others, it could be health. If I don't have my health, if I don't have my youth, if I don't have my power, if I don't have my position. But as you look at David, David was king. He was wealthy. He had a good family. But what his soul in the wilderness wanted more than anything was an experience of the loving kindness of God. And so David, in his worship, just confessed to God, God, what I desire, what my soul desires more than anything is to know your loving kindness to me. If your soul would be fat, worship God. Seek to know his loving kindness. And then seek God's adoration. Worship him by seeking God's adoration. Verse 4 says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. David's seeking God's presence, seeking a fresh demonstration of God's glory and God's power, seeking to know again the loving kindness of God. When that took place, David knew that it was going to come out of his mouth and that he was going to express praise to God. You know, David wasn't a lazy worshiper of God. He was exuberant. And when they went to get the ark, you know the story in 2 Samuel chapter 6, and they go to the house of Obed-Edom to get the ark. And the Bible says, so David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they had bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. And I don't know exactly what's taking place, and you ever seen Jewish kind of dance? I mean, you might have an idea of arms up in the air and exuberant praise to God. But what was that? That was an outflow of a fat soul. If my soul is fat, because I have experienced God in worship, and I have drawn close to God, and God has revealed to me his glory and his presence, that's going to come out of my lips in praise to God. Seek fatness of soul by worship. Thirdly, so we've looked at seek fatness of soul by faith, by worship. Thirdly, by restoration. Okay, and your text here is page 821 in the Black Bible, 821, or Jeremiah 31. All right, Jeremiah 31, or page 821. I'll give you a second to turn the pages. Page 821 or Jeremiah 31. Sometimes God's people, that are truly God's people by faith, have gotten away from God, and sometimes their soul is lean because of that distance that's come between them and God. They can't worship God. And so what? They need to be restored to God to have the fatness of soul that they need. Their soul is lean because they're distant from God. Jeremiah, as you know, was a prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah. And so he's preaching in Jerusalem. And he's saying to them, look, get right with God. This whole Babylonian thing that's taking place, get right with God. God can take care of it. God can deliver us. But then it gets to the point of, no, God's judgment's going to come. You haven't listened. But I want to tell you this. Though you're going to be sold into slavery, there's going to be coming a day where God in his grace is going to restore you. And so in the study of Jeremiah, you get to chapter 30 and chapter 31, it's about the restoration of Israel to God. And so even in the text, in verse 3 of chapter 30, it says, for lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. So it's going to come back around. It's going to get good. God's going to restore them. But in restoring them, he's going to restore them to soul fatness. Chapter 31, verse 12. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion. And they shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And here it is. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Okay, satiate. I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness. Satiate means to bathe. It means to soak. It means to water abundantly. We got some mild weather this past week, and I didn't wash my car because every time you drive, the salt just flies back up on it. But I cleaned my car out inside, and part of that was we had gone with the boys agate hunting some distant time. I should have cleaned it sooner. But there's mud and stuff back there in the back of my car. And so I took a sponge, and I put it under the water, and I squeezed that sponge, and I squeezed all the air out of that sponge, and I satiated that sponge with soapy water. So that I could clean the inside of the car. That's really the idea of what this is. It's God immersing that soul and just filling that soul again with what is so precious as what comes from God. You know, it could be the day that people are soul lean because they're away from God. They're a believer. They put their trust in Christ, but they're seeking to satisfy their life with other things, and it's not satisfying, because they've got themselves distant from the God who satisfies. And so like Israel, it may be this morning that that person needs to get restored to God for their soul to be fat again with the blessing of God. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Restoration. Could be somebody like, man, my Christian experience is lousy. Get right with God. Get in that place of obedience again. Get brought back to God where you're again getting that soul fatness from God. And so fatten your soul by restoration, by worship, by faith. And then fatten your soul by wisdom. All right, here's our next one. I'm going to give you the page number. The page is 694 and 695. Or if you have your Bible, Proverbs chapter 11. And we'll also look at chapter 13. Okay, and it's 11 verse 25 is the first one. So Proverbs 11, 25 and page 694 and 695. On Sunday nights right now, we're studying doctrine. But as you know, preceding that, we've been studying the book of Proverbs. And we've made decent progress this past year in the study of Proverbs. We got into Proverbs chapter 13. And Proverbs, as you know, is a treatise on wisdom given to Solomon, by Solomon to his sons to instruct them in wisdom. And in there, in the last weeks of our study, we kind of came across these verses that we'll look at this morning. And so fatten your soul by wisdom. First of all, wisdom would teach us to be generous. Be generous. Fatten your soul by wisdom. Be generous. Proverbs 11:25 says, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." In other words, the person that is generous, is what goes around comes around, is what the Bible teaches, that as they liberally give, so they'll be liberally given to you. As they pour it out, they will be poured upon, is what the Word of God teaches. Remember, the disciples came to Jesus, and they said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." Okay? If they come to Jesus and said, "Jesus, teach us to be liberal," this is what Jesus could have said, as he said in Luke 6:38. He says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again." God says if you're lacking and your soul's not satisfied by God's blessing and God meeting your needs, learn to give. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together is what God's blessing is for those who would give. Matthew 5:42 said, "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." In our study of 1 Kings in our morning devotions as a family, we've come to the story of Elijah going to the widow woman. And God said, I commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. And remember, Elijah comes to that woman. She's getting ready to make a cake for herself and for her son. And Elijah comes to her and says, listen, make a cake for me first. The barrel meal is not going to waste. The cruise of oil is not going to fail until such and such a date. God's going to bless it. But you've got to give to me first. And I asked the kids, I said, is that reasonable? No. It's unreasonable. It's illogical. Why would a man of God say to somebody, if you need something, then give, because that's what God says in the Word. Give and it shall be given unto you. You know, have you ever noticed that when an actor plays the part of a miser, they're always grumpy? Ebenezer Scrooge, you know, Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. And how is Scrooge portrayed? As a happy chappy? No, as a disappointed, sorry old man that has no joy in this life because he's a miser. And yet the Bible says about somebody that gives as God intends them to give in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. Why? Because their soul is fat. There's a delight. There's a joy that God's given. Why? By being wise. Fatten your soul by wisdom. Be a generous person because it certainly has to do with what the Word of God teaches about soul fatness. The liberal soul shall be made fat. And then fatten your soul by wisdom, not just by being generous, but by being diligent. By being diligent. This is page 695 or chapter 13, verse 4. Okay? And it says, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. He's not satisfied, but the person that is hands involved, getting to work, using the hands that God's given them as God intended, that soul shall be made fat. Do you remember your first job? I was thinking back to the jobs that God's given me. My first job was loading skeet for clay pigeon shooting at a rod and gun club by my house. I had to get down into a cement structure that only was that far above ground with my back in the back of the cement wall towards the guys with the guns that were shooting over my head as I stood in a room where I couldn't see the guy hitting the button and loading skeet onto an arm that would continually go around mechanically, throwing skeet out that they would shoot, and I'd have to reload it. And I remember my first paycheck. Well, actually, the cash from the till that they paid me in the pub. And that, my mom found out about that, and she said, you got to quit. All right? But the satisfaction of getting some money. Then I worked at McDonald's and got my paycheck, and the satisfaction of earning something. And then I did lawn care, and the satisfaction of getting a job well done and seeing that grass cut just right and the pavements cleaned up. There is great satisfaction in what God's given us to do with our hands and investing our hands in the work that we can do. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 12 says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he little or much, whether he got a great job and great increase or not, doesn't matter. He invested his life in labor, and it's rewarding. You know, and let me say this. Work is not part of the curse. And you understand, God made us for it. And so there's a satisfaction there our soul finds in working and being diligent. So fatten your soul by wisdom. Be generous. Be diligent. And then we're going to end this morning with fatten your soul by religion. Fatten your soul by religion. It's page 777 in the Church Bible, or Isaiah chapter 58. Page 777, or Isaiah 58. As you come to Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah is giving instruction about true religion. These people had tried to be religious by what they did, but not by their heart, okay? And so he's going to give them proper instruction about religion. And so Isaiah 58, verse 11 says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Satisfy thy soul in drought, make fat thy bones. How? By being truly religious. It's like what James says about true religion. True religion impacts my relationship with men and my relationship with God. And James says that in chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And so true religion with regard to man is a religion that visits the fatherless and the widows and actually does something towards mankind. With God, it's undefiled before God and it's unspotted from the world. And so we're to have religion that affects our relationship with men and our relationship with God. So let's consider our relationship with men first. And I'm reading currently John Wesley's journal. And John Wesley, the great preacher in the 1700s, that English preacher that God used, it all began when he and Charles and some other men, pre-salvation of John Wesley, formed a holy club. You know, that was what they were sworn, and that was what they were called, and that name kind of stuck with it. But they had this idea, whether it does not concern all men of all conditions to imitate him as much as they can who went about doing good, whether all Christians are not concerned in that command, while we have time, let us do good to all men, whether we can be happy at all hereafter unless we have, according to our power, fed the hungry, clothed the naked, visited those that are sick and in prison, and made all these actions subservient to a higher purpose, even the saving of souls from death, whether it be not our bounden duty always to remember that he did more for us than we can do for him, who assures us, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And they took those ideas just about the goodness of God and what God sought to do in ministering to people. And they thought, you know what, that's what religion should be like. Religion should impact the fellow man. And you know, in our study here this morning, as we look at Isaiah teaches a similar idea. As he says in verse 6, we're to deliver the needy. It says, is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness? To undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. As God was working with Israel, God's servant Isaiah instructed them on relieving them of burdens. Not to try to worship God if you're not right with your fellow man. And then helping the needy. Verse 7 says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. And really, it's what James, again, was teaching about practical religion in James chapter 2, I think, verse 15, where it says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And the point is that soul satisfaction in right religion is that our religion is a practical religion that impacts people. We ought to consider, as a church, practically, not a social gospel, but that the gospel that God intends ought to be social. It ought to be something that impacts our fellow man. And so verse 10 says, and if thou draw thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. And so practical religion is that I want to be a blessing. I want to seek to minister to others on a physical level. But then obviously it impacts our relationship with God, putting God first. Verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, not finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. And so it's that God would satisfy our soul by a religion that is productive towards man and a religion that is productive towards God. That God has first place and that we're seeking to be a blessing to others. You know, this year, there's a lot of people that are seeking to lose weight physically. All right? That's, we understand that. But I wonder how many are seeking to gain weight spiritually. And is our soul fat today? Is it fat by faith? Have you tasted Jesus Christ? Is it fat by worship? Spending time in God's presence? By restoration, if need be, getting right with God. By wisdom. And then by real religion. And so a fat soul is a blessed soul. And may God just help us to have God's blessing upon our lives. Let's pray. Father, I praise you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you that there is full satisfaction in this book. And Father, I pray today, maybe somebody's looking at their life saying, you know, my soul's not really satisfied. And Father, maybe it's because they sought satisfaction everywhere, but in Christ. And Father, I pray that today would be the day that they understand that those things aren't ever going to satisfy their soul. Their soul's never going to be made fat through anything other than Jesus Christ. And then, Father, help us to satisfy our soul with worship. And Father, we could surely cry out, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land when the water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I've seen thee in the sanctuary. And Father, that we need a fresh demonstration of the power of God and the glory of God. That we need a fresh awareness of the loving kindness of God. That we need to see your hand at work in our lives and be encouraged in our soul. And Father, by restoration it might be a believer that their soul's not really that satisfied because they got away from God and they're not right with God. And Father, I pray that they would know the joy of getting that relationship restored even today and brought back into a place of soul fatness. And then Father, by wisdom, Lord, help us to be generous in the things that we have that we'd be giving. Lord, not for what we could get, but that's soul fatness. That's God blessing us, taking care of us as we meet others' needs. That's a biblical principle that you've given to us. And Father, by diligence, using our hands and working. And then Father, by real religion, and as we came to that, we were brief in our consideration of it this morning. But Father, that's a lengthy passage, and as we look at it, it teaches a religion that's real. It's not about coming to church and looking like you're worshiping God. It's about meeting the needs of those that are about you and caring about those that are about you and not oppressing those that are about you and seeking to minister to man, but then ministering to God and making the Sabbath a holy day, not seeking to do our own thing, not seeking our own plan, but Father, taking that day, setting it apart for God. And so, Father, I pray these are true because the Word of God is true. And Father, if there's a leanness in our soul, surely there's something in the text that we've looked at this morning that would speak to our hearts to say, you know, that's something that needs to change in my life. And so I do pray, Lord, for that person to get saved. I do pray, Father, that you'd help us to apply the Word of God to our hearts as believers and say, you know what, I need God. And I need to live my life for God and put God first and have real religion and meet the needs of my fellow man. And so, Father, whatever the Spirit of God has spoken to somebody's heart about today, I pray they obey. And God help us to do that. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So stand, please, and we'll sing. Channel's only 550. 550.